Okay, good Vach Shavuot Tov. Before I begin, I just want to make two dedications. Number one, Tov Shinayin Dalet was a very difficult year for me. I lost my father. I want to dedicate this introduction to Slichas in his memory, Mordechai ben Nechemia, Zichrono Livracha. Also, it's been the 20th Yahrzeit of one of my very important role models, that certainly in the rabbinate, a gentleman who was both a rabbi in London and a rabbi here for 3 years, Rabbi Yitzhak Bernstein, Zichrono Livracha, who really was a very major influence in so many ways, especially in terms of his oratory and speaking. And it's 20 years, which I cannot believe, since he passed away. So I want to dedicate the shir also to him. And again, both of these neshamas should have an aliyah. The year, Tov Shinayin Dalet, which we are coming to the end of, as Chazal put it, Tich Leshono Kilo Sel, that the end of the year should mark the end of the bad things and the new year should bring good things. This was a very difficult year. We don't have to remind ourselves of what we had to live through, what we went through. And I want to particularly focus on one aspect of the events, the major events that took place during this year, which was a revelation. It's something that we all knew, but it became public knowledge. What do I refer to? Obviously, we were thinking about the events of what happened with Gaza and what happened in that continuing situation. This is not something that's going away so quickly. But there's something that happened outside Israel, which became particularly disturbing. In London, in Paris, you name the city around the world, there were demonstrations against the war. We knew this was coming. We knew that there were groups that were going to demonstrate and to be very virulent, is the word, anti-Israel. Even in New York, in 47th Street, if you've were there, or you've caught that story a couple of months ago now, I think it was, there was an attempt at a demonstration which didn't work out very well. But things have been happening. And not only demonstrations in terms of Israel, but the rise of anti-Semitism. In London, I've just read an article this evening, there's an estimate that since July, the number of reported incidents has gone up by 500%. 500%. That's a number, trying to get your head around that number. And this, the story in Paris, the shul that was besieged by people, it's actually on YouTube, there's a film of this thing. I go on and on. Angela Merkel last week in Germany had to make a statement saying that she is dedicated to eradicating German anti-Semitism, the country that perpetrated the most evil crime in the world. And it's coming back to Germany, of all places. It just, your heart palpitates when you think about it. That in such a short period of time, we've had, 75 years since the Holocaust. And in that country, how evil it is that this sickness comes about all over again. And it's something that this year became very clear, that when people were saying down with Israel or death to Israel, God forbid, all these terrible things, next to them, the photos that came out, death to Israel, death to the Jews. Finally, we stopped kidding ourselves that you can be anti-Israel without being really anti-Semitic. It's not true. That has been put to rest. Anti-Semitism and anti-Israel really is an equal sign between them. They mean one and the same thing. We shouldn't kid ourselves. I'm just working in Colombia, and I just noticed that this week there is a talk, the war against Gaza. I was waiting for Colombia to wake up about this, and this week it's waking up. One of the pro-Palestinian professors is giving a talk. What war against Gaza? I'm not even sure what he's talking about. As Joan Rivers, who I think merited Olam Haba with her one interview that she gave, and she said quite point blank, she said, who started it? When they tried to push her on this, her comment was, who started this war? And that's something that we've got to bear in mind when we see these interviews, these conversations. We've got to understand that there is something going on here which is not just the agenda. It's no longer about Eretz Yisrael, Medinat Yisrael. It's about being Jewish in the world. our situation as Jews in the year Tovshin Ayin Dalet became just a little bit more, I'm going to use the word, precarious. So I looked for chizuk, I looked for strength, I looked for something where maybe, you know, looking back in history, we can find one of the great Gedolei Yisrael who spoke about this when it all raised its ugly head in the 1930s. Who spoke out about it? Who made a statement where there was something definitive that was being said? And I have a sefer at home, which I don't know when I got the sefer. And it's a collection of the statements, the Divrei Torah, the ideas which were expressed by Rav Kook, Zichron Livracha, the first Rav Rashi of Eretz Yisrael. Rav Kook was a major figure. He also was a Rav in London, was a Rav in other places, but is so remembered for his, not only for his contribution to the building of the Yishuv in Eretz Yisrael, but particularly the fact that he had such a positive spin on everything that was going on. There was this sense of Geula, which was coming through in everything that he was saying. He not only, as they say, didn't only talk the talk, but he walked the walk as well. He really, really, truly believed that these were messianic times that he was living in. He died in 1935. And the speech that I'm going to just repeat to you, a little bit of what he said, was said in 1933. It was Rosh Hashanah, the first day of Rosh Hashanah. And 1933, Rosh Hashanah was 9 months after the Nazis came to power in Germany. And the stories were coming through loud and clear of the attacks on Jews in the streets and Jewish businesses were being targeted. It was all happening already. Right? And again, it's the newspaper that we're reading at the moment. Things are happening in the streets, in places, in Europe. This was something that was going on in 1933, Rosh Hashanah. And Rav Kook put out an announcement that he's speaking at the Churva Synagogue. Now those of you who have been to Israel recently will know that this was a shul that for years was not rebuilt. There was an arch which was kept as a kind of memorial of the place. And it was a synagogue which had such a long history. I don't want to go into that. But this was a shul where everybody came to. Everybody who visited Eretz Yisrael, maybe who came from the diaspora to speak, that the Churva was the place where you went. And this Rosh Hashanah must have been phenomenal. The description that is given is that literally from the moment before the sun rose, they must have done it at Nates. Before Nates already, there were hundreds and hundreds of people coming through the Jaffa Gate, going towards the Churva Shul in the Rova, and the Rova Yehudi in the Jewish Quarter. And by the time the davening started, it was already, you know, filling up. It was more than full to capacity. And there's a description of the way Rav Kook walked from the Merkaz Harav, from the yeshiva, which was in the old city, in the new part of the new city, excuse me, in the West Jerusalem. And he walked with an entourage, I guess the yeshiva guys that walked with him. And the bit I like, the description, it says even the British officers saluted him when he went past. And he nodded back to them, he acknowledged their salutes, which I thought was a sort of nice little touch of the respect that was shown to him at that time. He got to the shul, and the shul was just overflowing. And they made way for him, Kriyas Yamsuf, if you've ever seen that with the Rebbes, you know, they sort of walk through and everybody seems to find a space for the rabbi to come in. And the davening began. And they got through to the end of Kriyas HaTorah, and they got through to the Haftarah, and then there was a hush. And at that moment, Rav Kook ascended to the bima there, and he gave the following drosha. And this was something which, over 80 years ago, it rings so clear to us today. He said the following, and I just want to share this with you. This is his words, and Hamevin Yovin, you'll understand where we're going with this. He said like this, he said that there are, in Hilchos Shofar, there's in the laws of the Shofar, three levels of Shofar. He says there's something called Shofar Gadol, the great Shofar. He says there's something which he defines as Shofar Beinoni, the medium Shofar. And then he says there's what he's going to call Shofar Katan, the small Shofar. So what is he referring to? He says Shofar Gadol in Halacha is recognized as the Shofar Mahadrin, the Ayal, the Ram's Horn. It reminds us of the Akedas Yitzchak. We know what it's about. That is the ideal Shofar, and that's the one that we try and use. He said, Allah recognizes an in-between stage. The in-between Shofar is a Shofar which is Kol ha-shofarot kasherot, the Mishnah says all the shofars of other animals, of kosher animals, are good except the para. You can't use the shofar horn of a cow because it reminds you of the story of the Egel Azor. Fine. And you make a bracha on the, obviously on the shofar gadol and then the shofar benoni, both of them with a bracha. But he said the third example is also brought in halacha. And that's a shofar which is, if you've got nothing else, no other horn to use, take the shofar from an animal which is possible, maybe not even kosher, and aim a varchin alav. The halacha says you don't make a bracha. You blow it, you make the sound, but there's no bracha on such a shofar. And Rav Kook said, these shofarot represent the three types of shofar of Geula, shofar of redemption. Now remember, in 1933, the doors of Palestine at that time were open. And particularly from Germany, from Western Europe, Jews were coming. 30,000 Jews arrived in Israel that year. And it was something which was a sense of redemption that was in the air. People felt it. What Rav Kook would have said about today, I really don't know. Because to the thought in his mind that there would be nearly, I think the estimate is over 7 million Jews living in Israel is beyond belief. You know, he would have been screaming Geula today, not just talking about it. You know, I don't know, it's just hard to imagine how he would have reacted. But in his day, it was already that sense, that chush of Geula, that chush of redemption, the sense of redemption. And he said those three shofaros represent three types of redemption, the shofar of redemption. And he said so beautifully, he said, the shofar gadol, that's the shofar that calls the tzaddikim to Eretz Yisrael. He said, we've had tzaddikim, we've had the history in the past, Rabbi Yehudah HaLevi got to the gate, the Jaffa gate, we know, and he was trampled to death, we know the traditional story about it, but he made his way then, he got there. The Ramban, Rabbi Moshe ben Nachman got there. After a long, arduous journey, it took him many, many months, probably even years to get there. He said, there's a tradition about the Talmidim of the Vilna Gaon, who came, all the different names that we know, and the Talmidim of the Baal Shem Tov, and all the different communities, the Perushim, and all the various communities that we recognize to this very day in Israel, in Yerushalayim, and other places. That is, he says, the Shofar Gadol. They responded to the sound of the great Shofar. Because to them, Eretz Yisrael was Eretz Yisrael, Yerushalayim Shel Mata, corresponding to Yerushalayim Shel Mala. When they walked in Jerusalem, they saw the Malachim, they would see the angels. They'd look up in heaven and they would hear it, they would see it. I was once walking in Yerushalayim, and I heard my name being called out. It's a story which I'll never forget, with somebody called David Applebaum, some of you may know the name, a doctor who was killed in a terrorist attack a number of years ago. And I knew him. And I was walking one day, and it was very quiet, near the Tachla Merkazit. And he called out, he was driving around, because it was a quiet day, and he was in an ambulance, which he worked for, he started the Terem, which is now a very big thing in Yerushalayim. And anyone he saw on the street, he called out. And he recognized me, so he called out, Yisrael, Yisrael, my Hebrew name. When you hear in Yerushalayim your name being called out like that, you look up into heaven, you say, Hineni, here I am, God, I'm here, what do you want? You know, and that was my immediate reaction. Because in Yerushalayim, you know, you hear your name. I nearly killed him after. I said, you nearly gave me a heart attack when you called me like that. Then I realized who he was. He had a wonderful sense of humor. It was a terrible loss when I heard that he was killed. That's a story which is again, not for now. The Tzakaba Shofar Gadol Cheru Sena, that Shofar Gadol that we refer to, those tzaddikim, they heard the call. Hineini. They went to Yerushalayim, they went to Eretz Yisrael, and they would say, Hineni, here I am, God. I'm here to do the will of Hashem. He said, the shofar beinoni, the middle type of shofar, you make a bracha, it's also a kosher shofar. But he says, that's the Jew who comes, who maybe comes for more, how should we say, they feel the connection to Eretz Avot, or they have some sort of sense of historical connection. Like a lot of people today, you have what I call an emotional sense of connection to the land. You may not know much about it. You may even go there not knowing any of the dinim, any of the special laws, mitzvot, tzluya baharat. But you have that feeling of connection, you go. And Rav Kook said that's also kosher, and we make a bracha on such a shofar. And then he stood there and started crying. And Rav Kook said there's a third type of shofar. There's a shofar that calls us to Eretz Yisrael, it's the shofar katan. This trefa shofar, the shofar comes from a trefa animal. He says, you don't make a bracha on such a shofar, but it's still calling us. is calling us to say, Jews, remember you're Jewish. Remember that you're Yehudim, that you belong to Am Yisrael. You're in an atmosphere where you think you're at home in Germany. I am calling you, said Rav Kook, but God says, I'm calling you with this shofar. The shofar represents the sound of the enemy calling at us, shouting at us. Juden sind unser Unglück, as they said. They said, Jews are our misfortune. Death to the Jews. We just saw these placards going through Paris, going through London. Who knows where it's going to get? I just don't want to think about it. And that is the shofar. Katan, says Rav Kook, you don't make a broch on such a shofar. Because that shofar, the brocha, would be not possible, because it's a shofar born out of puranut, he says. It's born out of punishment in terms of calling Jews. But it's a shofar that comes about, and sometimes it's also necessary. We need the reminder, we need to be reminded of the connection to Eretz Yisrael. And I think to myself, this year when we heard about the assimilation rates, both in Europe and in the United States, it's no coincidence there's been a rise of anti-Semitism. The reality of Jewish life, and this is the scary part of the whole thing that I'm talking about this evening, is that it seems to go hand in hand. If we're not going to openly choose to be Jewish, then God says, well, I've got to remind you. And how does he remind us? With a call of a shofar. Sometimes it's a call against us, not for us, but against us. And Rav Kook was crying, and the oilom was you could hear a pin drop. And then he said, we have to pray, we have to have a nechama. We have to realize that really what we pray for Rosh Hashanah, this is part of our tefillah, we said every day, Tekar b'shofar godol l'cheruseinu. That if we're really, really praying for redemption, we all want to be part of the shofar godol. We want to be part of the first group. Want to be part of that group that responds to Eretz Yisrael, because it is so precious to us, and it's so holy to us, and it's so kadosh, it's such a holy place, that Eretz HaKodesh, that's why we want to be there. And that's the tefillah. He says, that is what we daven for. We pray that Eliyahu HaNavi will come and blow the shofar. It doesn't say blow the shofar. He says he'll blow the shofar gadol, the great shofar. That's what we daven that. Nusach every single day, three times a day. Tekar b'shofar gadol l'cheruseinu. And at that point, the olam davened, they got ready to hear the shofar. You can imagine after a drosha like that, because that's when he sat down. The drosha was dynamite, because everybody understood what he was getting at here. And the reporter here in the article says that he said he never davened a musaf like that ever in his life. The sense that Rav Kook was saying something, an insight here into Jewish existence, into the existence of Am Yisrael, not just in Israel, but around the world. And I look at this today and I say to myself, 80 years later, that this drosha resonates through history. It's screaming at us and saying to us again, we've got to make ourselves strong when it comes not only to our communities here, but to re-establish and reconnect that kesher to Eretz Yisrael wherever we can. I have a student comes to the program that I'm involved with at Columbia, and she went on Birthright for the first time. She visited Israel last year. She's already been back now three times. After that, she was so enamored with what she saw in Israel. She every opportunity, she's back there. That is an amazing thing. And this, again, I think for Tavshin Ayin Hey should be, certainly every educator should be working to this, certainly if we can, even in our own small way, to encourage that connection to Eretz Yisrael, to build and to support wherever we can. It was so disappointing to me to hear of all the cancellations of people not going just in the last few months because of the events. And I understand people sometimes are a bit reluctant. But the reality of it is that, you know, they need our support. They need to know that we are there for them. And of course, we need to know that they are there for us. The great bracha we have today, which Rav Kook did not see in his day, was that there is a Medinat Yisrael, there is a state of Israel, that chas v'shalom, that we should never be forced to go, that we should want to go there. But if we have to, there's a place to go. And that is something we should never, ever take for granted. To me, the danger today, so much in the religious world, is how we become complacent about Israel. Either, I'm not talking about the very right wing, which have become possibly so negative, and I don't even want to go to that particular discussion, but just in the sense of, we're taking it for granted. We take it as if it's always going to be there. And I think maybe we're getting a reminder at the moment. Appreciate what we have. Appreciate what it is. Realize that the enemy is at our doorstep. Those tunnels were coming into Israel. It wasn't just now something far away. It was something at the doorstep. And God forbid what they were planning to do this Rosh Hashanah is just beyond belief. And all of this should be something we bear in mind. We're standing at Tekiah Shofar, please God, this week on Thursday morning. Think about it and think about the Shofar Gadol. Pray to God that we will be inspired, not by the Shofar Katan, which is unfortunately there to remind us who we are, by the enemy of Israel, but the Shofar Gadol, which will bring us all, Bezrat Hashem, to Eretz Yisrael. Bimhera b'yomeinu. Amen.